Thanks for joining us here this morning. Mabel Louise Stewart is with us on Tuesdays and Thursdays, and so here we are. How are you?
Here I am, yes, right in the studio.
Right where you ought to be.
Glad to be with you too, Pat. Thank you. And it is a good morning. What a difference a day makes. Oh, my goodness, the temperature. It's a perfect day with a perfect temperature, and I want to honor our perfect Lord today. So stay tuned and let me visit with you. And you know what? I wonder if I met you and saw you at the church at the fair on Sunday. Oh my goodness, wasn't that a warm day? Very extreme heat. Someone mentioned that it was around 100 degrees. That is, with between the sun and all of the food stands that were cooking. Oh, it was something else. But you know what? We enjoyed the service so much. And what joy always to see and meet so many WWIB listeners. All of you are so wonderful. And thank you for coming up to me and telling me you listen to the station. All of us are so honored that you're there. And you know what? A lot of work goes into making the fair successful, and I'd like to give credit where credit is due. And I want to thank our WWIB staff who worked so hard. Terry and Carol had to find all of the contents of the booth and put it up. And they had some of my grandsons to help. And so it takes all of the staff to work to make it successful. And then there were four churches that helped sponsor the service. And some of the members of the churches came and helped man the booths. Those churches were Crossroads Church, Chippewa Valley Bible Church, Landmark Christian Church, and Harvest Time Church, all of Chippewa Falls. Isn't it nice when we can work together? And praise the Lord for those who raised their hands to receive Christ as their Lord and Savior. And I don't know how many attended, but I know that it was packed and every seat was taken. It was wonderful. And so I want to give you a good verse because I want to give the Lord all the glory. That's what we want to do here all of these 45 years. We want to praise the Lord and give him the glory of the blessings. We're all blessed every day, aren't we? In so many ways. And I hope, by the way, that you're enjoying Carol's historical report in the update, which gives a history of WWIB. And of course, it's another reminder of how good the Lord is and how faithful he's been to us to stay on the air all of those years. Well, today I want to talk to you about our government. I know you're groaning right now, but here's what I made the title of my message. What can we do, you and me, what can we do as believers, as Christians, to make America a better place? I'm sure that if you listen to the news or read the newspaper or the radio or TV, whatever, that you're aware of the turmoil that's going on in our country right now. Oh, my goodness, the hate, the riots, I don't even want to start naming. And so we need to start with each individual doing our part. It takes all of us to make democracy work. And so I want to close out my mini series on current events by asking this question. What can we do to make America a better place? And instead of complaining about what's happening in our government and in our country as a whole, we need to stop to think and to reason together. Whatever happened to agree to disagree? Wow. There's so many people that seem to be so dogmatic and I'm right and you're wrong attitude. My goodness, we can't make anything work when we have that kind of an attitude. How easy it would be to say, instead of this is the way it's gotta be, to say, do you think this would work? Have you thought of this? Or is it worth a try? And being courteous and working together as we should. Well, the Bible has lots of instructions as to how to respond to those who are the leaders of our country. Allow me to read Romans 13, 1 through 7. This is where Paul is reminding Christians to be loyal, to be obedient to the laws of the land, and to respect our leaders. And I looked through my library, and I found a Bible, one that I've used many times, that I had sort of put aside. And this Bible is a combination of the King James and the New International. In other words, one column has King James, and right beside it, in the next column, is the New International. Well, I read both, and I like the New International version better. So let me read, excuse me, 7 verses out of this particular version of the Bible. And it's talking about submission to the authorities. Everyone, did you hear that word? Everyone, that's you and that's me, must submit himself or herself to the governing authorities. For there is no authority except that which God has established. The authorities that exist have been established by God. Did you hear that? The authorities that exist have been established by God. Consequently, he who rebels against the authority is rebelling against what God has instituted, and those who do so will bring judgment on themselves. For rulers hold no terror for those who do right, but for those who do wrong. Do you want to be free from fear of the one in authorities? Then do what is right, and he will commend you. For he is God's servant to do you good. But if you do wrong, be afraid, for he does not bear the sword for nothing. He is God's servant, an agent of wrath, to bring punishment on the wrongdoer. Therefore, it is necessary to submit to the authorities, not only because of possible punishment, but also because of conscience. This is also why you pay taxes, for the authorities are God's servants who give their full time to governing. Give everyone what you owe him, If you owe taxes, pay taxes. If revenue, then revenue. If respect, then respect. If honor, then honor. The first verse of King James says, let every soul be subject. And of course, I just read in New International, and it said, submit himself to the government. Everyone must. So I looked up, and the term be subject was a Greek word, and it was used of a soldier's absolute obedience to his superior officer. So Scripture does make one exception to this command, and that is when obedience to civil authority would require disobedience to God's word. I'm sure that you recall how Daniel stood firm in refusing to eat the king's food. Well, in doing so, he was obeying the Jewish law. And since government is God-ordained, disobedience, then, is rebellion against God. The Lord instituted human government to reward good and to restrain sin in an evil, evil world. Paul took advantage of his government role in promoting what is good when he exercised his rights as a Roman citizen to obtain justice. He wrote this particular portion of Scripture while he was in jail. He was well acquainted with the law of Moses, of course, and the laws of the land. Let me name a few things that I thought of that we can do as individuals and as believers to make America a better place, a better nation. Number one, I thought about the fact that if we pray and attempt to live godly lives as examples, as our to our fellow citizens, that will make it a better place. In other words, do unto others as you would have them do unto you, the golden rule. And this is so important. We need to each one take our own responsibility and stop the blame game. Oh my goodness, we need to take care of our own selves before we start tearing down someone else. And then I thought about, in light of this, we need to train children and grandchildren to be godly also, and to teach them to respect and to be loyal and obedient to our national laws. Oh my, how my mother and dad would train us around the kitchen table when we were eating a meal. We'd talk often about the news and things that were going on, and my folks would always stand up for our nation and what is right. And you know what? Think about it. In order to teach this to children, we have to believe it ourselves and act it out ourselves to be a good example. And I think the real crutch of the whole situation is people are too busy with programs and schedules and everything that's going on in all of our lives. Oh, there's so much pressure, isn't there? And it seems like less and less time to be with your children and grandchildren, and to be able to take time to talk about the nation, to talk about the laws, and how we need to respect one another. And another thing that I thought of was we need to respect each other's opinions by being tolerant toward one another. In other words, try to reason together when there's a difference of opinion. Work it out. That's the way to go. We don't have to be at odds with each other. There's got to be a way out, and you can visit about it, seek it out, search it out, work on it, and do it together. And then I thought about how important it is to vote. Yes, vote for the candidate that has good moral standards and one who could be trusted. And hopefully, wouldn't that be wonderful if they would follow godly standards? And we have some good senators and representatives and government officials that do just that. And how do we do it? We listen. We read reports. We check out their backgrounds. We also listen to the media and the different places where the candidates are sending out their resumes. And then the fifth one, and I'm out of time, and I still have so much more to talk about. So I'm going to continue on my next broadcast. I hope that's okay with you. And will you pray about what you can do to make America a better, wonderful place? Okay? Bye-bye.